Chapter 1, Personal Devotions. We must have a converted ministry. The efficiency and power attending a truly converted minister would make the hypocrites in Zion tremble and sinners afraid. The standard of truth and holiness is trailing in the dust. If those who sound the solemn notes of warning for this time could realize their accountability to God, they would see the necessity for fervent prayer. When the cities were hushed in midnight slumber, when every man had gone to his own house, Christ, our example, would repair to the Mount of Olives, and there, amid the overshadowing trees, would spend the entire night in prayer. He who was himself without the taint of sin, a treasure house of blessing, whose voice was heard in the fourth watch of the night by the terrified disciples upon the stormy sea, in heavenly benediction, and whose word could summon the dead from their graves, he it was who made supplication with strong crying and tears. He prayed not for himself, but for those whom he came to save. As he became a suppliant, seeking at the hand of his Father fresh supplies of strength, and coming forth refreshed and invigorated as man's substitute, he identified himself with suffering humanity, and gave them an example of the necessity of prayer.
Unless ministers are daily converted, they can never reveal the truth as it is in Jesus. I am unable to describe to you the impression made upon my mind when I realize that many, even among our brethren who are teachers of the Word, are not daily converted.
Christ stands ready to impart wisdom and grace, but those in important positions of responsibility cannot guide others in the right paths unless they are converted daily. If they rely upon their own supposed wisdom, they will mislead others who look to them believing that these ministers understand the sacred work entrusted to them. Those who accept responsible charges need to be on their guard, and by humble prayer to be sanctified, refined, and purified. Unless they sense their true condition, and unless they become Christ-like, they can never reveal the truth as it is in Jesus. Ministers who are not converted daily do rash, unwise things. Some ministers who are connected with sacred responsibilities have lost all realization of what it means to watch for souls as they that must give an account. They do rash, unwise things. They have not discernment to see what their unwise movements are doing, because they are not daily converted. It is a sad thing to lose confidence in men in whom we ought to have confidence. The precious souls for whom Christ has died must not be left to be the sport of Satan's snares and temptations. Do not preach until you know what Christ is to you. Will my brethren take heed that no glory is given to men? Will they acknowledge that Christ does the work upon the human heart, and not they themselves? Will my ministering brethren plead with God alone in secret prayer for his presence and his power? Dare not to preach another discourse until you know, by your own experience, what Christ is to you. With hearts made holy through faith in the righteousness of Christ, you can preach Christ, you can lift up the risen Savior before your hearers. With hearts subdued and melted with the love of Jesus, you can say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The more you associate with the Master, the more closely you will resemble him, the more that the minister of Christ associates with his Master. Through contemplation of his life and character, the more closely will he resemble him, and the better qualified will he be to teach his truths. Every feature in the life of the great example should be studied with care, and close converse should be held with him through the prayer of living faith. Thus will the defective human character be transformed into the image of his glorious character. Thus will the teacher of the truth be prepared to lead souls to Christ. The yielding of self to the will of God is not an easy attainment. The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, and being clothed with humility, possessing that love that is pure, peaceable, and easy to be entreated, full of gentleness and good fruits, is not an easy attainment. And yet it is our privilege and our duty to be a perfect overcomer here. The soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in knowledge and true holiness. The holy life and character of Christ is a faithful example. His confidence in his heavenly Father was unlimited. His obedience and submission were unreserved and perfect. He came not to be ministered unto, but but to minister to others. He came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. In all things he submitted himself to him that judgeth righteously. From the lips of the Savior of the world were heard these words, I can of mine own self do nothing. The Lord cannot work with those who are self-sufficient. Do the shepherds of the flock expect that God will work with them? From the light that God has given me, I know that there might have been 20-fold more accomplished than has been accomplished, if the workers had sought God for strength and support instead of depending so much upon man. There is need of men of faith for this time, not simply to be preachers, but to be ministers to the people of God. We want men that walk with God daily, that have a living connection with heaven. The Lord cannot work with those who are self-sufficient, and who exalt themselves. Self must be hid in Jesus. If we would see the deep movings of the Spirit of God, we must have the truth as it is in Jesus. The efficiency of a discourse depends on the application of the truth to the heart by the Spirit of God. When Elijah sought God in the mountains, a devouring fire swept by, but God was not in the flame. A tempest rose, the thunder rolled, and the lightnings flashed, but God was not in all this. Then there came a still small voice, and the prophet covered his head before the presence of the Lord. It is the still, small voice of the Spirit of God that has the power to convict and convert men's souls. The people are far in advance of many ministers. Ministers should seek a heart preparation before entering upon the work of helping others, for the people are far in advance of many of the ministers. They should untiringly wrestle in prayer until the Lord blesses them. When the love of God is burning on the altar of their hearts, they will not preach to exhibit their own smartness, but to present Christ who taketh away the sins of the world. Ministers learn to do without the Spirit of God. The reason why there is so little of the Spirit of God manifested is that ministers learn to do without it. They lack the grace of God, lack forbearance and patience, lack a spirit of consecration and sacrifice, and this is the only reason why some are doubting the evidences of God's Word. The trouble is not at all with the Word of God, but in themselves. They lack the grace of God, lack devotion, personal piety, and holiness. This leads them to be unstable, and throws them often on Satan's battlefield. I saw that however strongly men may have advocated the truth, however pious they may appear to be, when they begin to talk unbelief in regard to some scriptures, claiming that they cause them to doubt the inspiration of the Bible, we should be afraid of them, for God is at a great distance from them. Guard jealously your hours for prayer, Bible study, and self-examination. In the great conflict before us, he who would keep true to Christ must penetrate deeper than the opinions and doctrines of men. My message to ministers, young and old, is this: guard jealously your hours for prayer, Bible study, and self-examination. Set aside a portion of each day for a study of the Scriptures and communion with God. Thus you will obtain spiritual strength, and will grow in favor with God. He alone can give you noble aspirations, he alone can fashion the character after the divine similitude. Draw near to him in earnest prayer, and he will fill your hearts with high and holy purposes, and with deep, earnest longings for purity and clearness of thought.